Okay, good evening. So tonight we're picking up with Pirkei Avos, and I wanted to, we're continuing in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel. That's Perek Gimel, the third chapter, and we're up to Mishnah Yud Zayin, Mishnah 17. So again, it's chapter 3, Mishnah 17 in Pirkei Avos. And there we read the following. Rabbi Akiva Omer. So Rabbi Akiva is the author of this Mishnah. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva is going to be the author of the next four Mishnayos. Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and Kaf. 17, 18, 19, and 20. And, you know, has quite a lot to say at this point in Pirkei Avos. You know, usually we spend a little bit of time when we introduce a new Tana, one of the rabbis of the Mishnah, who shares with us his wisdom in Pirkei Avos. Usually we spend a little bit of time talking about the biography of that Gadol b'Yisrael, of that outstanding individual. There's so much to say about Rabbi Akiva that you know, you don't even know really where to begin. Rabbi Akiva stands out as one of the great heroes of Jewish history, really of all time, in many, many ways. And, you know, we could really just sit here all night and talk about Rabbi Akiva without ever getting to what he had to say. We know that Rabbi Akiva began life as an ignorant shepherd, somebody who was an Am HaAretz, from the class of people who were ignorant and even antagonistic to the Talmidei Chachamim, to the Torah scholars. A statement that Rabbi Akiva is quoted as saying in the Gemara in Psachim is very, very striking. Rabbi Akiva tells his Talmidim, you know, when I was an Am HaAretz, in my former life, when I was an ignoramus, and someone who, again, was not just ignorant, but coarse, opposed to the Chachamim in so many ways, I used to say, "Miyiteng li Talmud Chacham ve'eshchenu kachamor." If you were to deliver a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, into my hands, I would bite him like a donkey. And he goes on to say that when the donkey bites, it breaks the bones of the individual whose bones it's biting. So Rabbi Akiva grew up not just ignorant of Torah, but as he says about himself, he was antagonistic to Torah. He was antagonistic to Talmidei Chachamim, to the Torah scholars who were part and parcel of Torah. And as the Gemara tells us in one of the most, you know, famous romantic stories, really, of all time, Rabbi Akiva ended up marrying Rachel, the daughter of the wealthy Kalba Savua. And it was Rachel who really pushed her ignorant husband. She saw this great potential in him. She pushed him to go and to become a Talmud Chacham. And ultimately, he went back to Cheder. He sat with the little children. But he grew from there to become one of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the great rabbis of all time. And had that been the end of the story, that alone would have been a fantastic story about, you know, this great individual, Rabbi Akiva, you know, from rags to riches, in a if not in a financial sense, then certainly in a Torah sense. He went from being a tremendous ignoramus to being, you know, one of the Gedolei Hador. But that's not the end of the story. Rabbi Akiva's uniqueness in creativity, in Torah interpretation, is attested to time and time again by Chazal. In other words, it's not just that he became a great Talmud Chacham and a Gadol Hador. He became one of the Gedolei Hador among the Gedolim. The Gemara Menachos famously tells how Moshe Rabbeinu was miraculously transported to the classroom of Rabbi Akiva many, many years later, and he saw Rabbi Akiva teaching, and the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't understand the profundity of the Torah teachings that Rabbi Akiva was giving over. Again, whatever that means exactly, and again, one has to try to figure out what that means exactly, but certainly one thing that it means is that Rabbi Akiva's Torah teachings were on an unusual level of profundity, something that, you know, even among Gedolim stood out in terms of its greatness. And again, that alone would have been reason enough for Rabbi Akiva to earn a place in history. But you add that to the fact that Rabbi Akiva famously dies al Kiddush Hashem. He's one of the Asar Hurgei Malchus who's killed during the Hadrianic persecutions. And he dies in such a memorable fashion. You know, after having been imprisoned for teaching Torah in public, he dies with the words Hashem Echad, you know, with Shema Yisrael on his lips. You know, Rabbi Akiva is, you know, becomes a hero for all time. You know, just on the strength of that story of martyrdom alone, the readiness to give up his life in order to preserve the teachings of Torah. So, you know, we're talking about somebody who's Mishichva v'malo gavah mikol ha'am, as the Pasuk says about Shaul HaMelech. He just towered above everybody else in terms of his greatness. So that's Rabbi Akiva. Again, that's the 30-second summary of the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, but again, it's worth reiterating. Rabbi Akiva makes the following statement in our Mishnah. Schok v'kalus rosh margilin es ha'adam le'erva. Schok, frivolity, and or scoffing, I should say. Schok, scoffing, and kalus rosh, levity, frivolity, makes a person more likely to get involved in situations of erva, of illicit sexual relations. Mesores, siyog la'Torah. The Mesores that we have, the oral tradition of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, or, as some render it, the traditions we have as to how to spell words exactly in the Sefer Torah, this is a siyog, a fence around the Torah. Maisros, giving tithes, is siyog la'osha, is a fence to protect one's wealth. Nidarim, making vows, is siyog laprishus, is a fence around maintaining a kind of asceticism. You know, in other words, if a person wants to keep himself away from the pleasures of this world, especially from the illicit pleasures of this world, so then a good way for him to do so is to make nidarim, is to make vows. The Gemara in Nedarim says in Daf Ches that even though in general we discourage people from taking vows, there's one situation where it is appropriate to take a vow. Hanishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. If a person takes a vow that he's going to fulfill a mitzvah, so says the Gemara, that's commendable because, you know, taking the vow will serve to spur him on even more to perform the mitzvah. And siyog l'chachma shtika, a fence around wisdom, is silence. So we have to go back and analyze each of these 5 points that Rabbi Akiva makes, but as a opening remark, it would seem that the common theme to all 5 of these statements is the value of having a siyog, the value of a fence. You know, Rabbi Akiva says that the best way to protect things which we hold to be dear, near and dear in Yiddishkeit, is to make a fence, some kind of protective fence around them. The last 4 out of these 5 statements use the term siyog explicitly, and the Mefarshim write that even the first statement of Rabbi Akiva, schok v'kalus rosh margilin es ha'adam la'erva, that a sense of scoffing and levity causes a person to get involved in illicit relationships, that also is really about the idea of a siyog. Because if you think about it, what is it that's osir fundamentally? It's the erva, it's the illicit relationship. So Rabbi Akiva is telling you, if you want to avoid the illicit relationship, the erva, the way to do that is to avoid the schok and kalus rosh, the scoffing and the frivolity, the levity, which, if you move into that area, it will be a very slippery slope till you get to the area of erva itself. So, if that's the case, why didn't Rabbi Akiva simply say that koved rosh, that seriousness, is siyog Lekashrus, you know, or that it's a it's a siog to do the thing to not get involved in erva, right? Why wasn't it phrased in the positive way, the same way that all the other things are phrased in the negative way? The Tiferes Yisrael has an interesting comment over here, which is actually very consistent with a number of comments that the Tiferes Yisrael makes, and that's what he says as follows. If one were to speak of the opposite of schok and kalus rosh, you know, the opposite of scoffing and frivolity, you'd be inclined to say that those the opposites would be atzvus, sadness, and kovid rosh, and seriousness. You know, in other words, the perhaps Rabbi Akiva would have expressed himself as saying atzvus v'kovid rosh siog lifnei erva, that sadness and seriousness are a fence to prevent you from falling in to a situation of erva. And says it to Tiferes Yisrael, had Rabbi Akiva phrased it that way, it would have been misleading, because we don't want people to be sad, we don't want people to be overly joking and frivolous in the way in which they relate to the world, but you know, we don't want people to be sad either. Sadness is a bad thing. And even kovid rosh, even seriousness, which again the Tiferes Yisrael seems to understand kovid rosh as being an extreme kind of seriousness, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that's appropriate for davening. The Mishnah says in the fifth parak of Brachos, Ein omdim lehispalil elo mitoch kovid rosh, when we get up to daven, we do so in a sense of, in a state of seriousness. But that degree of seriousness which characterizes the davening isn't something that we're supposed to walk around with on a regular basis. Meaning, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to be pleasant, you know, but you're not supposed to be happy-go-lucky. So, says the Tiferes Yisrael, in order to emphasize that you don't need to go overboard in being overly serious and not happy and not joking at all, just the Mishnah is saying that you shouldn't engage in excessive levity and excessive frivolity, so Rabbi Akiva phrases what he says in that particular fashion, Schok v'kalus rosh margilin es ha'odom le'erva, but ultimately, really, it's the idea of a siog. In other words, it's a fence. Don't engage in schok and kalus rosh, because that will bring you to the situation of erva. The Tiferes Yisrael goes on to say that there are essentially five different siyogim, five different types of fences that Rabbi Akiva is talking about over here, and they are fences in five different areas of our religious life. Fence number one, as we just spoke about, is make sure to preserve your dignity. Right? When a person engages in frivolous and, you know, scoffing, totally happy-go-lucky kind of behavior, where the person is really just, you know, not treating themselves with any level of seriousness, that lack of personal dignity very often will lead to a crossing of the boundaries in the sexual realm. So that's point number one. Point number two is that a person has to maintain boundaries in his intellectual life. Right? And here the Tiferes Yisrael writes as follows. If a person is not careful intellectually, he may begin to think that the Torah was either written by man or was revised by human beings. And, you know, a person may think that the Torah that we have is not really authentic. Certainly there are two major religions in the world today that believe that the Torah was given to the Jewish people, but you know, it's the way we have it. It's not accurate. It needed to be revised. There needed to be some kind of update, you know, to the Torah. And the Mesorah, meaning the sense, the accuracy with which we know that this word is written with a vav, this word is written without a vav, this word is written with a yud, this word is written without a yud, the accuracy and the precision which accompanies our understanding of how the Torah was passed on, that's a fence to keep us from looking at the Torah as being the work of human beings. Once we realize how much precision and accuracy has gone into transmitting the Torah from generation to generation, that keeps us intellectually on the right path. People also sin when it comes to the acquisition of wealth, and a fence to keep us not only wealthy, but to keep us using our wealth in the right way is to make sure that we take off tithes, that we take off maaseres, that we give tzedakah from the wealth which we have. And not only does it protect our wealth, as the Mishnah indicates, but it protects our attitude towards our wealth. One of the things we have to worry about in life is also getting swept away with physical desires, with as he puts it, as the Tiferes Yisrael puts it, the tavos hagufnios, the bodily desires that a person might have. So in order to ensure that we lead a life of precious, which could be translated again as asceticism, or again, less severe than asceticism, just making sure that we don't overindulge in the various things in which we can indulge in life, we have that concept of nedarim that we spoke about earlier. And finally, when it comes to our speech, which is, certainly another area where it's so easy to act incorrectly, siag l'chachma shtika. When a person is not quick to talk, it doesn't mean that you're never allowed to talk. But I think the way we would characterize it is you think before you speak. Some people speak before they think, right? That's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to think before you speak. So in other words, that silence that you engage in before speaking, take a moment to think about whether you really should be saying the following. Take a moment to think about whether, you should respond to the person who insulted you. That shtika, that silence, that moment of silence before you say what you were thinking of saying, is the biggest siag l'chachma, is the biggest fence around the idea of chachma, around the idea of wisdom that you could possibly have. But the Tiferes Yisrael quotes a beautiful pshat in this last statement of siag l'chachma shtika, from one of his colleagues, Reb Zelig, where he says as follows. What does it mean, siag l'chachma shtika? So we find that when the Chazal say that when the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he paused, the Ribbono Shel Olam paused after each concept that he revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu to give Moshe Rabbeinu time to absorb the concept which was being taught to him. Sometimes you go to a shir, the Rebbe speaks a million miles a minute, and you just lose the train of everything. The Ribbono Shel Olam was a master pedagogue. He taught Moshe Rabbeinu the way you're supposed to teach someone, a little bit at a time. You don't overwhelm the Talmud with too much information. So the Ribbono Shel Olam would reveal a concept to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he would pause. And then he'd reveal another concept to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he would pause. And then he'd reveal another concept, and then he would pause. Says Reb Zelig, the colleague of the Tiferes Yisrael, that's what it means, siag l'chachma shtika. Do you want to preserve the wisdom of Torah that you're learning? You need those moments of shtika, those moments of silence, those pauses to be able to absorb the information in order to make sure that you're able to understand that what you're learning, and it doesn't just come like a steamroller, into your intellectual consciousness. So five types of siyogim, five types of fences, which Rabbi Akiva says, if you want to preserve these fundamental aspects of life, your dignity, your intellectual commitment to Torah, your wealth and your attitude towards wealth, your sense of not overindulging, and just your wisdom in terms of relating to other people, there are certain siyogim, there are certain fences that you can put in place in order to protect those things. I think one might suggest that this emphasis on the idea of a siyog, the importance of a siyog, might be an idea that goes back very uniquely to Rabbi Akiva's upbringing and his biography, and something we spoke about a little bit earlier. As we said before, Rabbi Akiva grew up as an Am Haaretz, as an ignorant person. He grew up with an antagonism towards Talmidei Chachamim. Mi yiten li Talmid Chacham v'eshchero Chachamor. Who would give me a Talmud Chacham? I would bite him like a donkey. And I think we very often see in our own age, and it's reasonable to assume that this was true in the time of Rabbi Akiva as well, one of the gripes that Amei Haaretz historically have had with Talmidei Chachamim is, why do you have to make Yiddishkeit so difficult by burdening us with all of these extra rules? In other words, the Am Haaretz, who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, we're not talking about somebody who's not a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but an Am Haaretz who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs says to a Talmud Chacham, look, I get the basics. You know, you want me to keep kosher, you want me to keep Shabbos, you want me to keep Taharas HaMishpacha, I get it. You know, you want me to daven. But all these extra chumras that you have, all of these extra things, which you yourself admit are extra things, they're not really necessary. It's a gedder, it's a syog, it's something which is meant to keep me from doing the wrong thing. What are you making me crazy? I'm a simple Jew. I just want to do, you know, just tell me what I need to do. Don't tell me any extra things that I need to do. And indeed, we find one of the differences between Amei Haaretz and Talmidei Chachamim in the time of Chazal, in the time of Rabbi Akiva, was that the Talmidei Chachamim kept the laws of Tumah V'Tara even when they ate chulin, even when they ate non-consecrated food, which strictly speaking they were not obligated to do. But they did it as a protective measure to make sure that they would be careful about Tumah V'Tara even when they had to be careful about Tumah V'Tara, when it came to issues of eating truma or eating kodshim. And the Amei Haaretz were not careful about Tumah V'Tara. They said, look, I'll be careful about Tumah V'Tara when it comes to eating kodshim, to eating truma, but my regular everyday chulin, my sandwich that I have for lunch every day, don't go overboard, Rabbi. Don't make all these extra strictures. What are you making my life crazy? So comes Rabbi Akiva as a reformed Am Haaretz. He was an Orthodox rabbi, but he was a reformed Am Haaretz, somebody who had previously been an Am Haaretz. And he says, you know, one of the things that I learned in that transition from being an Am Haaretz to becoming a Talmud Chacham is the importance of Syogim, is the importance of not just doing what's technically, you know, permissible, but within limits, within reason. Again, you can't go overboard, but within limits and reason, to realize that Yiddishkeit is so precious that I want to not just do what's okay. I want to create a life where I act in such a way that it's unlikely or relatively unlikely that I will fall into the clutches of Aveira. And the way in which I can do that is to make these Syogim, to make these fences to protect my position in the best possible way. So that's, I think, Rabbi Akiva's own biography really plays an important role in terms of these, his emphasis on Syogim. And the very first thing he shares with us in Pirkei Avos is based on something that he learned when he went from being an Am Haaretz to being a Talmud Chacham. We'll say Kapitlach Tehillim. We'll say a Mishaberach v'cholom, then Bez Hashem tomorrow night we'll continue with more Pirkei Avos. Kapitel Tzadi Aleph, 91. Yoshev b'sei ser elyon, b'tzel shaddai yislonon, omar ladonoi machsi umsudosi, Elohai eftach bo, ki hu yatsi lecha mipach yokush, midever havos, ve'evroso yosech loch, V'sachas kenofav techsem, tzino v'socheiro amito, lo siro mipachad lo ilo, mecheitz yo'uf yomom, bidever ba'ofel yahaloch, miketev yoshut zahorayim, yipom etzidcho elef urvavo miminecho ilecho lo yigosh, rak beinecho sabir v'shilumas v'shuim tireh, ki ato adonoi machsi al yon tzam tom yonecho, Lo sune lecho rov anegelo yikrav yo alecho, ki malochov yitzav eloch, lishmarcho b'chol durochecho. Al kapayim yisuncha, pentigov bo even raglecha. Al shachal bo fesen tidroch, tirmos kefir visanin. Kivi choshak viafalateyu, asagiveyu kiodashimi. Ikraini veneyu imo anochivit sora, achalitseyu viachabedeyu. Orech yomi masbiyeyu viareyu vishuosi. Kuf Mem Beis 142 Maskil David Biosov Amoros Sefila Kolil Adonai Yezah Kolil Adonai Yeschanon Eshbach Lefonov Sichit Sorosi Lefonov Agir Visateif Olai Ruchi V'yato Yodato Nesivosi Barachzu Ahaleich Tomenu Fachli Habeg Yomin Urevi Engli Makir Avad monos mimeni ein doreish lenafshi. Zoakti elecho Adonai, yomarti ato machsi. Chalki b'yeretz hachayim. Hakshivo el rinosi ki dolosi miyod. Hatzileinu mirodifai ki omitzu mimeni. Hotzi omi masger nafshi lo dose shemecho. B'yachtiru tzarikim ki sigmol oloi. Vishberachav Useinu, Avraham Yitzchak, V'Yakov Moshe, V'Aaron, David Shlomo, Yivarech, V'Rapi, Yisacholim. Bavu Shibulin Eden, Onlin Stokov, Bavu Ran, Bishchar Zakodish Baruch, Uyimolei Rachmim Aleihem, Lachli Molei Rapusam, Lachzikon, Lachli Yosam, Vishlach Lohem, Eirof, Washlem, and Ashramayim, Cholei Varehem, Lachogi, Deyam, Isoch, Shor, Cholei Yisrael, Refuas HaNefesh, Refuas HaGuf, Hashtag Agalov is man Kariv and Omar Omein. Wish everybody a wonderful evening, and we'll speak to everyone tomorrow.